Welcome to episode 61 of The Rocketry Show. And in this episode, we talk to the new owners of Lock Precision. Need I say more? Stick around. Episode 61 starts right after this. This episode of The Rocketry Show is brought to you by North Coast Rocketry, eRockets.biz, SiriusRocketry.biz, The Insane Rockets Android app, and the following patrons: Jason Cook, Les Rayburn, Bill Cook, John Beans, Eric Gonzalez, Tom Rum, Steven Spencer, Paul Olivieri, Joe S., Charlie Savoy, Gary Rosenfield, Michael Pitfield, E. Hundell, Sam Feinberg, C. McCauley, John Thompson, Digit, Steve S., Don J., T. Jockham, T. Vanderbeek, P. Calvin, R. Hoagie, R. Smith, J. Pullman, Michael Aylward, G. Smearden, M. Erisman, S. Shremko, J. Bryan, and johnrocket.com. You too can help support the show as well. Just go to patreon.com/therocketryshow. That's patreon.com/therocketryshow.
You're listening to The Rocketry Show, brought to you by the guys who love the smell of burning ammonium perchlorate in the morning. If it makes fire, smoke, lots of noise, and flies into the heavens, then these guys are all about it. Here are CG, Jim, and the Rocket Noob.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com. I am CG.
And I'm Jim.
And Daniel, the Rocket Noob, is off on new daddy duty, although I was just chit-chatting with him before the show started up here, and he's hoping to get a little bit of a break here coming up in the next couple of weeks or so to be able to join us for at least a couple of shows. Sounds like he's jonesing for things because he saw our little discussion channel going on where you and I were talking back and forth, Gene, and then he kind of came out of nowhere. Oh, what are you guys talking about? So,
well, he would like everybody out there to know that Mini Noob is doing just fine. Mom is fine. They're all good. So I wanted to let everybody know that at least out there and to say hello. And he misses us all.
And we miss him, too. So, yeah. So that's what's going on with him there. And meanwhile, I am here and a bit frazzled as I'm getting back into things here. Busy few weeks with a day job that's kind of spent long hours doing things, but other than that, I'm hanging in there. How about you, Gene? What's going on your end? Any new projects?
Well, right now I'm just kind of still dusting off from my L3. The Rocket team finished off their TARC. They didn't make it to finals, but they completed all their flights, and they were a little disappointed, but I'm pretty proud of them for coming so far as they have, considering that they're a very young team. So we're looking forward to next year with that. In the meantime, though, we're looking forward to a local launch out here that's hosted by Skybusters, which is called Glamour, the Great Lakes Regional Meet, and it's coming up very shortly, so the guys are getting excited about that, and half of them are junior L1s, so they are prepping their larger rockets to launch some eyes.
Why yes, not? And I ordered a few motors for that myself, getting ready for it all.
Absolutely.
And of course, I had to buy another I-200.
Our favorite motor.
Yeah, and a couple of the CTI reloads, too. I'm getting ready myself. So it should be fun to get back into the rocket thing. It's been a few years, so hopefully the weather will hold up and it doesn't get delayed into some time where I'm out of town or something, because then I'll be yelling at the skies.
I already know that it's a 2-day meet. It's on Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to miss the Saturday, but I will be there on the Sunday.
I'm planning.
It's wife's birthday.
I'm planning on the Saturday one. So.
Okay. I will just do it in passing then.
Yeah. And other news in the rocketry industry, besides us doing our thing here, we've got the official word here on Estes situation. We talked about it on the show. We were on the edge of all the information, and we were kind of like piecing pieces of info together based on this. But they are indeed owned by the Langford family. Ellis Langford is the managing director for Estes, and he is joined by the family management team, which is also his brother Fritz Langford, and John Langford, the dad, will be sitting on the company's advisory board, as well as, get this, Vernesti's.
Yes, I saw that. Yes. I was so happy about that. Yeah. It's great that, you know, I mean, such a staple of getting people into rocketry. Estes, we all started off as that. Most of us have, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And even the kids today, when I run my summer camps, I'm using those black powder motors, you know, and getting them into rocketry and then showing them what a lock kit can do on a G.
Yeah.
And then they get all excited about it.
Yeah. So basically, he's beefing up the staff right now. Once he gets the staff situation all straightened out, and all that, the next sort of business they're going to be rolling into would be getting products on the shelves for the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing next year. So sounds like,
do we have another Saturn V in the works there, do you think?
Who knows? We'll see. It'll be interesting.
So although, anyway. I guess, a lot of the guys want that Saturn I-1B. Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
Yes.
Anyway.
So anyway, there you go. Quick news and some catching up from us. So anyway, that's what's going on here. What are we talking about today besides just chit-chatting about rockets, which is what we've been doing here? We're going to be talking to the gentleman from Lock Precision, the new owners. So that'll be kind of cool. And they're also going to be joining the Rocketry Show as sponsors as well. So it'll be a good time to get to know them and get to know them as sponsors as well. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a really, really quick break here, and we'll come right back. And we'll talk to the new owners of Lock Precision and what they have in mind and what's going on. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this. This is The Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com. It's time for Serious Rocketry. Serious Rocketry, since 1998, providing the Rocketeer with great kits, motors, supplies, and more. They have lots of products in their ever-growing web store with fast shipping, wide selection, and courteous service. You can check out the amazing and popular Serious Rocketry kits that harken back to the days of fun-to-build detailed kits that are more than just three fins and a nose cone. And, Jim, you've got some of those kind of kits around, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. today, what we're doing is, since we're talking to the guys at Lock, I thought I'd bring up the a Lock rocket that's on Serious Rocketry. It is the Lock Sandhawk. Now, let's hear me out on this one.
Okay.
It's a 3-inch body tube. It's got plywood fins, four of them, a 38-millimeter motor mount. It's 62 inches long, weighs about 31 ounces. So all you guys out there doing your calculations know that you could really punch this really far into the sky. It can handle, it's beautiful. It can fly a G, H, or I motor if you have the guts to do so. Got a 36-inch parachute and could easily go above a mile and probably very close to Mach 1 if you had to choose the right motor and you build it properly. So all of that, all in that neat little package of the Sandhawk design, which is a classic sounding rocket design. I've always loved the clean, like sleek lines of this rocket for $85. It's a great price. You get all the parts you need for it. Lock is really famous for making sure you have everything you need. And they're continuing to do so with this kit. Everything you need, all your mounting hardware, all of your rail buttons, everything, you know, that you need, the nylon, shock cords and nylon parachutes that go along with it. So for $85, this is one heck of a rocket. If you have the guts to fly it far, you can.
Put a tracker in it.
Absolutely.
Serious Rocketry's website features real-time stock tracking as well, which lets you order with confidence from their online store. No having to call or write to see if something is really in stock. And when you're ready to fly, Serious Rocketry has motors and hardware in stock and ready to ship. From Estes through Aerotech High Power. You can ask them about their club specials while you're at it by visiting their website at siriusrocketry.biz and .com. Serious Rocketry for the Serious Rocketeer. Welcome back to The Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com. CG Jim, and we are joined by Dave Barber and Jason Turisic of Lock Precision. They are the new owners of Lock after Barry Lynch sold the company and moved it out of our neck of the woods, which it's a mixed blessing. It's good and bad. It's good in that our wallets are happy that Lock Precision isn't in the backyard,
bad because we can't go there and cause damage to the wallet. So, but we'll have to treat him mail order like everybody else. Welcome to the show, gang.
Hey, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on the show. How does it feel to be the big owners of a lock?
Well, somebody said it should be fun. A rocket company, they said, you know.
It's very cool. We're having a great time.
It is way too much fun, really. Yeah, we love it. It's I got more than what we expected, but you know, that's okay. We definitely keep busy. Things have been great the first year. Everybody's been really, really super friendly and welcoming. So gotten a chance to visit a couple of launches just this last year that we probably wouldn't have attended otherwise. So it's been worth it.
Excellent. And I should point out here real quick that while we were setting up for the interview here earlier, you guys pointed out to us that in the background right now, there's karate training going on in the upstairs rooms of the warehouse you're in. So like right now, when you hear the pitter patter of feet going on, that's karate classes going on, just so you know. So
I'm sure you guys aren't arm wrestling over there.
Yeah, I do guys think it's pitter patter. I think the whole safari jungle's coming down on my head, but you know, as long as I'm happy.
So let's start off with like a couple of basic questions. What was going through your minds as you were thinking about actually buying Lock, and what were you thinking as far as what you wanted to do with it and where you wanted to go with it once the acquisition was made?
Well, I guess it's kind of a loaded question.
Dave can take care of that one.
So Jay and I, we had started Yank Enterprises like, you know, over 20 years ago. And right after 9/11 and the Aerotech fire, we ended up selling to Barry. He came in a U-Haul and picked it up. We were working out of a garage back then yet. And, you know, just I kept in touch with Barry a little bit over the years. And I think it must have been fall of 16. He had commented on some pictures, and I call it old pre-9/11 rocketry. You know, you could just tell, you know, it was just a little different era, if you will. And I asked, so, hey, how's business doing? He's like, you want to buy it back? And I'm like, yeah, okay, funny. He's like, I'm serious. I'm ready to retire. And I'm always an opportunist. So I'm like, well, I'll take a peek at the books once, see what's going on. And I messaged Jay like right away. I mean, we've been friends since we were.
And I said, you're crazy.
Yeah, I said, we'll get divorced, right? And that was the joke of it. And, he pulled the trigger first and got permission from the missus over there, and I thought, holy smoke, this is going to go over like a fart in church. But and ultimately they pushed us and said, yeah, absolutely. You guys you've done it before. You know what you're doing. If the numbers look good, go ahead and have some fun with it. So the rest is just kind of fell into place. And, you know, we're small town here. Somebody's been really welcoming, which is great, and made the transition super easy. Well, not easy, but doable.
I was going to say. Doable. Yeah, doable enough. So, like, did you guys, like, you basically took the truck and picked up everything in their entire warehouse and then moved it over to where you guys are?
There was several semis and a couple
of weeks. I was going to say, there's a lot. Yeah. How did you guys weather that storm?
Pretty well.
Monster.
You know, I'd never do it again, personally.
A lot of monster, no sleep. Just, you know, humping parts out on a hand cart, and pallet jack broke halfway through at 2 a.m. one morning, and just, you know, I mean, all kinds of good stuff. But we made it, got it here, and
we have a good spot here in Plymouth.
Yeah, worked out of boxes for quite a while trying to get set up. That was probably the most difficult thing, and learning all the lock things that just had changed over the years, and you know, some of the new techniques. Of course, you know, Barry put a lot into equipment and everything, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just how much quicker we can do things. And I'm always a production minded guy. I like to, you know, keep quality obviously high, but I also like to be able to crank things out so that it's, you know, keep costs down, you know, in my
right
opinion.
Right. Absolutely. It's running a business, you know, and right. I've got to give you guys a lot of credit, because I know that the margins in this business can be a little bit dicey, and it seems like your transition was very, very smooth, at least from the outside, as I was kind of watching stuff and seeing what was going on, because there were still kits available from third-party vendors as you guys were making the transition, and then as you made it, it just seemed relatively seamless, so it didn't look like much on the outside, but I'm sure it was a lot on the inside.
It was. There was a lot of, there was some stress points. You know, Barry was really good. He had a great inventory to start with. So that really helped. And some of the things we were low on, we'd get a little nerve wracked when all of a sudden we had to make a new part, something we haven't done before, or, you know, you're trying to look at it from all angles just to make sure that it's right, that it's accurate. You don't want to be sending out garbage, you know, and of course, right. A couple of pieces went out that weren't, you know, quite done right. And it's like, oh, new stuff, it's on the way, you know, we'll take care of you. Sorry about that. You know, we're kind of a, you know, learning curve there a little bit, but yeah. And then just getting our arms around the machines and understanding, and then putting our own little twists on, two heads over here, we can kind of bounce ideas around. So we made a couple of modifications of some things to help a little bit. And I think it's been going pretty well.
You know, Barry gave us a lot of time too.
Yes, he came up here for what? Cool. A week?
Yeah, he coached us and made sure that we were put in a successful place. So that was great.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Really did.
That's cool. Now, you're talking about like some of the new techniques and technologies. Without giving away any secrets or anything, can you tell us about how the difference in the technology has changed since when you guys were in it in the pre 9/11 days and then now? And like, you know, as far as speed goes, or, you know, can you talk about any of that stuff?
Sure. A ShopBot router is one of the
best. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Frosted Flakes and the laser cutter is probably the best thing since canned beer. Those two things together. they really help. I mean, back in the day, it was, you know, you were on a drill press and you had band saws, mm-hmm. and table saws, which we still have. I think they're more just giant paperweights right now.
Kind of, yeah.
Barely get used, really. But
it's the automated process. And, you know, you make a file, you save it, doesn't change.
Right.
And our suppliers are consistent with the wood products.
Correct.
You know, so, I mean, we have to babysit everything.
Yeah.
You know, but we have the confidence that it's going to come out well.
And laying out a sewing room was the biggest thing. That we used to struggle with that way back in the day. It was ridiculous how we used to do it. And you know, he had Mark that worked for him there, and being that, you know, military parachute, mm-hmm. tech, I learned a ton of stuff from him. I walked into the room at first and I almost had a heart attack because I remember how much I hated the sewing. But that's come to be my now, actually, after, you know, Mark gave us some great tips and how he had things set up and teed up, it's a smooth operation.
Industrial machines.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Okay. So you guys are doing the soup to nuts kits then still. That's good.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. Everything. Yeah. Well, I don't want you to ever have to go to the store because you need something. That's something we've always, we had that mindset back when we started Yank. We were kind of frustrated with some of the kits that were out there. And wait a minute, why do I got to go buy this part? I thought it was, you know, as a kid, you're a kid, you're flying Estes, right? Everything's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get a motor and you're off and running. But when we got to, you know, higher power, it's like, wait, some of these things were missing. I'm like, what? That's not a kit. And so that was kind of our, I guess it's an OCD thing for me. I want you to have everything. You know, I mean, obviously upgrades are an option, but I mean, you can go fly it.
Sure.
You're going to be able to fly and it's in good shape.
Very cool. So, like, so as far as the inventory and some of the models, like the Bruiser and some of those other ones that have gone down in history, like you have a lot of history with the company. Do you plan on, keeping those, tweaking them, expanding them, or what are your thoughts for the future on that?
Well, we just kind of did.
We just kind of did a little tweak. So, you go ahead.
I don't know if you guys saw the Lock 7, the 7.5-inch upscale Lock 4 that we just put out.
I did, well, actually.
It's got a 5.5-inch motor mount. So from there, you can, put whatever kind of configuration in that you'd like. So the Bruiser, for example, was always like a 54-millimeter center with some outboards if you want. But so if you buy that Bruiser today, it's going to come with the modular motor mount and also a stock 54 adapter.
Now that's one thing that I'm very curious about, because like that whole like modular system, how does that, can you tell, just walk our audience through a little bit on it? Because I saw some stuff and I'm like, that's interesting. I'll have to look into that. So tell us about it.
Sure. So a 5.5 center, it's 24 inches long. And we, all the rings are laser, and the stock aft ring has four T-nuts that you would affix the adapters into. But then also a forward 5.5-inch coupler for a thrust ring. So all your adapters would be right around 16.5 inches, right from aft to the forward ring. So you're pressing on two points. We've flown it before. It's I guess, proven, right?
We've worked well this way forever, really, personally.
So in our minds here, we want to give you something with options. We don't want to tell you that you can only fly a J, you know, or
right,
only.
Right.
Fly, you know, so, I mean, this opens the door to people that never have clustered before. You can buy a center 75 down to a center 38. If you want some outboards, all you go ahead, you know, but at the same time, you know, something shorter, say like a Warlock or a Mega Mag, you could add our removable nose weight system onto and make it safe and very flexible.
Yeah.
So that's a huge mindset that we have these days is we want to just make it, you know, here's a kit. You can build it whatever way you want. We'll give you some tips, you know, but you're not stuck at that 38 millimeter, you know, motor in the Mag anymore. So. Right.
And the other thing it did is it got little Finlock keeper things. We got a lot of complaints right away. People, we probably got nailed with a dozen questions. And I appreciate the design concept on it. It was really great because, I mean, you could put any motor you wanted into, you know, custom different set of rings and you were off and running. You didn't have to worry about fin tabs, but they were breaking. And so we had a lot of requests. Right. I got a broken fin, broken fin, broken fin. I'm like, okay, well, we can do so. This kind of takes that away right away because the rings have a notch where the fins will set down into it. So it's super strong, very similar. Well, just like the goblin, actually. So they'll snap down in for superior strength, and it's a tube within a tube. So if you don't like the bolting idea or it makes you nervous, you can permanently adhere it. And it's just an old school tube within a tube with lock rings. But if you look at the calendar, the high power rocket calendar that's sitting on the wall in April, that rocket there had a 6-inch central, and we flew a 4-inch, it was a 5-grain, a CTI, I think M3400, you know, and that was the same system. We've been doing it forever, and just sharing parts and motor casings. It's like, give me an adapter.
I think that's one thing I noticed in the earlier lock kits is like the motor mount didn't seem big enough to me for the size of the rocket. And maybe that's just me because I build heavy and I like to, you know, punch something into the sky with a big motor. So I always like there's a couple of times that I'd get some different centering rings just to fit a motor mount for something bigger that I wanted to do. But that seems to eliminate the whole problem with what you're talking about.
Does.
Yeah, I never wanted to underbuild either. I never pushed limits so much, but I also didn't want to be just stuck with this diameter motor or smaller with adapters. What if now you look at all the variety, you know, Aerotech even coming out with the smaller 54s. They got, you know, there's an I something 54. I got to get familiar with all these new motors now, but you know, they have flavors in the different diameters. You didn't always have that. But it's still, you know, you shouldn't limit yourself. You can still get a 54 millimeter eye as well as a 29.
And caters very well to the EX market.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing I'm thinking, because like I'm a freshly minted L3 and I'm just like, okay, well, it's time to think about experimentals maybe, you know, going that route. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there too. Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, we're having that kind of fun seeing what reception we get.
Yeah.
And we have a few in the field, hopefully fly this weekend and we'll see what goes.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
I was going to say real quick for those out there who are not familiar with lock precision and what lock has to offer and what's different about lock. Could you go through real quick and just kind of do a run through of some things that are unique to lock precision that sets you apart from the other high power kit companies?
Well, I think, for me, one of the biggest things is being able to keep it light enough so that you can transition without having to kill your wallet. You can kind of dabble with mid power, and get up into high power without having to break the bank. I've got a focus and I'm working on some new lineups here that are going to be targeted at. That transition level, it seems like we almost have a fall off. I mean, everybody starts with SDs. We'll be honest. As we grab them, we've all had fun. We've all lost way too many in the trees. but there seems to be a real disconnect between getting, you know, somebody into even the D power, E power, F power, and having fun with it. And so that's one of my focuses there is to try to get everybody, you know, hey, take the next step up. It's not, you know, horrible. It's not going to hurt you. You can have a little more fun and the noise is just great. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely.
and just as Jim mentioned before that, you know, both of us were very familiar with Lock because for the longest time it was in the Northeast Ohio area. So it was within driving distance for most of us and practically in my backyard here. So for the longest time when Barry had Lock, Lock Precision was sort of like, I don't know, if I were NASA, Lock Precision would be like the subcontractor, you know, or I would have custom fins made by Lock and all that and you know, sticking into my scratch build kits, which, and I was also giving them the heads up during the, before we started recording that I could use a few more fins for the Nezuru rocket design project. So I'll be dinging them up and saying, hey, the file that's in your computer there, I need 8 of those or, you know, whatever. So
no problem. Yeah, no, we love it. Jay loves to do custom work. I mean, that really, that's, it's one of his things. He just absolutely loves to do custom stuff. If you've got a file, it's certainly easier, you know, DXF or whatever. But, you know, just doing the custom things for people, making sure that, you know, people get what they want. And as a manufacturer, I like, you know, even manufacturing for other people, you know, just getting kits out there. If somebody's got a design in their mind and they want to turn it into a kit, you know, for me, I'm more production minded. Let's how quickly can we get these parts made? What's involved for labor and costs, and, you know, slap your name and logo on it and you know, have some fun. So, you know, I really enjoy that part of it.
Are you looking at keeping that flexibility going through Lock in the future?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it keeps it fresh, keeps us entertained. You know, I mean, coming up with some of these things have been on the drawing board since, you know, we sold Yank way back in the day. And it's, you know, everybody's like, where are you getting all this new stuff? Well, it's not really old. Barry had my old handwritten note binder sitting on a shelf above his computer. I was floored when I saw it. I'm like, holy smoke. I was doing, my wife was taking her, you know, bachelor's exams and all this. And I'm like, Jesus, man, this is crazy. But, you know, so a lot of these things have already been there, and some things were just kind of putting icing on the cake. Some of these things Barry had already started on too, and just didn't get a chance to finish up. And some of that were just finishing some of his work that he started. So it's trying to be as flexible. I think, you know, I never like to pigeon toe you into a certain, here's what you get and that's what you're going to get. You know, it's options are great. That's variety is the spice of life. So,
well, and now we can move all of those ideas and parts into a production
environment.
So, yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a rocketer's paradise.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do right now real quick is we're going to take a break and come back with more discussion on what's in the works coming up in the next few months from Lock Precision. And I've got a nice little picture here we'll talk about to kick things off here. And it'll happen right after this, right here on The Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com.
North Coast Rocketry, one of the first high-power rocketry kit companies ever, takes advantage of over 30 years of high-power experience by a world-class rocketeer. You can look to North Coast Rocketry to expand your high-power rocket fleet. In addition to great kits, North Coast Rocketry also stocks lots of must-have items and accessories for every rocketeer's workshop. Find out more about these kits and other great products today. Go to northcoastrocketry.com. And while you're there, don't forget to get their latest catalog, northcoastrocketry.com. Advanced rockets that are easy to build, fun to fly, and look great on display.
And we're up to eRockets.biz. eRockets.biz, your home for unique model rocket kits, as well as the world's largest selection of rocket parts from Semrock. They've been in business since 2009, and eRockets doesn't just stock many of your favorite in-production kits, but they also produce their own versions of popular out-of-production models that many of you have come to enjoy over the years. And, Jim, you found some kits and a few other things, right?
Oh, absolutely. I like to touch on the unusual a little bit. And this is something that I built as a kid a long time ago. It's a Semrock flying rocket called the Heliroctor. And essentially what it is...
is that anything like hella good?
Oh, it's hella awesome.
Okay.
It's, so it's essentially got a... It's recovery system is three propeller blades that are on board, and it's kind of deployed along the line of the body tube. The fin can at ejection pops off and releases those, and then the entire rocket helicopters down.
Ooh,
so
cool.
It's a very cool little unusual rocket. I remember building something like it as a kid, and this is, again, following the Semrock line of keeping some of those old ideas and updating them and making them pretty cool and workable is I was looking at this going, you know, it's been a long time since I built something like that, so I think I might need to get one of these. It flies on a 13 millimeter motor, so it's a little bit of a smaller rocket, but it looks like you'd probably get an altitude on like an A-10. You'd probably get up to 500-600 feet. The fin can drops off. It's 16 inches long. The fin span is 4.5 inches and weighs about 8.85 ounces. It could be used in any kind of competition as a basis for something. I'm sure the competitive guys want to tweak to their desire, but I'm sure it could be done as well. But it's a really cool little rocket. A little challenge for the average person that wants to step up from three fins and a nose cone. And it's at $1,799, so it's a great Semrock rocket. I love the Semrock line. I mean, all the way from their Mars lander to the orbital transport and to the Gyroc and all that other good stuff that they have. But this one is kind of something that I built as a kid, forgot about it, and now I just saw it again. So it's like, you know, I think I might need to build that again.
Cool. And not only those cool kits from Semrock, but Semrock also has lots of supplies from airframes, nose cones, centering rings and motor mounts and so much more. I just got some new boat tails for my Comanche rocket, so those are pretty nice. Cool too. Little balsa.
The parts are amazing, especially for TARC teams. They've got tons of stock and everything's always in stock. They're fast shipping, great people to deal with, and they cover pretty much the gamut from all the way from the hobbyist, the 10-year-old kid who wants to just, you know, build their first rocket, all the way up to the high power guys that have done it for a while.
So check them out today. Check out erockets.biz to learn more. Erockets.biz. If rocketry scares you, buy a train set.
Let's see. 600 for motor casing, 400 for propellant, the airframe. Oh, hi. This is Gene from the Rocketry Show, and I was just adding up all the costs of one of my projects, and man, can it get steep, especially when you're looking for an onboard telemetry or GPS or tracking devices. I just saw one for $3,000, and I'm not sure about you, but that's a lot of money for me, and I don't even know if it's going to provide video for me. Well, that's where Insane Rockets comes in. Jason Cook has created an app available on Google Play for Android that does all of that and more. It's called the Insane Rockets app, and it provides, get this, real-time telemetry. It records video on most Android phones at 1080p. It records yaw, pitch, roll, heading, 3-axis Gs, gyro, barometer, and velocity using speech in real time. And it will even overlay your flight tracking information directly to Google Earth to help you find your rocket when it comes down. Best part of it, it's free. Go out and get it. Insane Rockets app on Google Play Store for Android.
Welcome back to the Rocketry Show. I'm the rocketryshow.com. CG and Jim here. Daniel is still doing his, what do you call it? Well, I guess we'll call it paternity duty or paternity leave or whatever from the show. Because we're just that damn progressive. No, just joking. Anyhow, welcoming back to the show here, Jay and Dave here from Lock Precision. And we are now up to talking about what you can expect from Lock here in the future here. So one of the things you sent to me in the email is a picture of a rocket here as part of your Lock 1 series of rockets here. Tell us about this. This looks interesting.
It's all you, Dave.
So one of the, I think when we talked earlier about, you know, going to Ohio and checking out Barry's place was all these little, the mini missiles that he had packaged up in boxes that were, right, that were sitting there. And I was just floored with them. And I remember him saying, man, packaging, man, what a pain in the backside, this, that, and the other. And they've kind of been sitting here in the wings because we weren't 100% sure what we were going to do with it. And as just kind of things unfolded, I've gotten a lot of requests from, you know, people doing groups, you know, Boy Scouts, and we got our fourth and fifth graders rockets for schools coming up here in Sheboygan. They just had a building session, I think it was last week, and then they're flying in May at a town nearby. But these kits, you know, they all had the, you know, pre-cut balsa and glue them on the airframe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you know, for little fingers, that can be a real daunting task. And after doing a couple of these build sessions with them, I'm watching these kids struggle to try to get a fin on straight. And I'm like, you know what? I know we can get this done. We're going to laser cut these tubes one way or another. We're going to slot these things to help make it easier for the kids. And right. That kind of hit me last spring. And from there, it just kind of snowballed into getting some samples out there for people that are, you know, I wanted other opinion. I wanted feedback, you know, so take these, go flying with your group and see what you got. See what you can give me feedback. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of people, which is all great stuff. So ultimately, it's all coming out in here. So there are basically our 1-inch diameter series. The mini missiles are kind of just revisited a little bit with a slotted airframe, Kevlar shock cord, you know, decals, you know, of course they're going to be included too.
Plywood.
Yeah. Plywood fins, nice. No more balls. Good and strong. You know, the tubes are, twice as thick as other tubes that size. So it's, you know, I don't want any little tears because somebody stepped on a rocket and absolutely destroyed it. So not that you can step on these, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's more durable and with little hands and clumsiness there, I think it's a little easier to not destroy. Yeah. So we're looking forward to releasing these for NSL and we'll, have some there and all the other good things that go with the,
we'll have four initial and then more packs after that.
Yeah, we got designs up the Wazowski. So
that's awesome. Because, like, you know, I work at a high school and I've got a rocketry team. And I did a little project where I wanted to build a small rocket, a BT-55 Estes tube, and wanted to dual deploy it and build it like a high power rocket with like plywood and stuff. And it sounds like you guys like are taking that and running with it, which is awesome. I'm going to have to get my hands on a few of those kits.
Yeah, it's kind of all the high power tricks brought down into a smaller scale. It doesn't, you know, just need to be for high power. It's just, it's a simple construction. You know, it's fins, nose cone, motor tube, engine hook, all those things. But the airframe being slotted is much easier for a first timer to comprehend, you know, a straight line on an airframe. And
absolutely. I had like I had a build session at my high school where we had like the middle school come down, and there's like about 30 kids, and you know, I had like my hands on the last case of Quest Astras, which are slotted, and it made it so much easier. And I was like, man, I wish I had a kit like this. So it sounds like you guys are delivering on that. And are there abilities, like are there 18 millimeter motor mounts on those? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Kind of. Mm-hmm. It's kind of perfect. When we found out Quest was doing their composite motor thing, I thought this is going to be great. Yep. Now we're going to get some composite fuel in these little suckers, and I can't imagine.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah,
yeah, they're not going to sit still. I don't think with just the A3 and the B4. I got a funny feeling that, you know, I mean, it's Aerotech. Come on, they're going to come out with some great stuff. you know, and I think for the smaller engines and the smaller sizes, I think, you know, I'm kind of excited for it. I think we'll see some really cool different fuels, and obviously the noise level on a composite is great. So. To me, that's what hooks a kid. I'm, you know, get a little.
Oh yeah, smoke. Absolutely. Like we did some demos with AP motors for, you know, for the kids showing off their TARC rockets, and all the kids, just their eyes popped up, and they're like, whoa, that's the kind of.
What did those kids say again?
Whoa.
I thought so. Okay.
You got
something
it.
Something like that. But very cool. That's awesome. Take my money, please. give me cases. So what, as far as like the future goes, what do you guys have in the works that you can talk about, like across the entire line? What do you got cooking that you can talk about?
Well, a lot of revamps.
Yeah. Just trying to, you know, revamps, kind of a strong word, but you know, like the getting rid of some of the underwear strap shock cord that we've gotten. You know, so we've got a new nylon in here. It's, you know, 950 pound strength. It's certainly, there's going to be something else that fails before that cord does, and putting loops in it, sewing them together so you can, you know, hold your rocket together. Cause we've gotten a lot of complaints about that. You know, just giving some fresh upgrades, I guess is a word I'd use for some of the kits you know, they could just use it.
A little revisiting. Do you guys have any plans for some like crazy, like, you know, Locke is always known for some really ridiculously large rockets that have gone down in the annals of history. I've got a couple of them sitting in my basement. But are you guys looking at juicing up the big line a little bit?
Well, we certainly have here and there, but I know Dave's got a 7.5-inch Iris sitting in the back that's half built, which is ridiculously big. We'll certainly we'll try to you know, do more things like that, but at the same time we
big
did
hawk
some,
sitting above my head.
Yeah, there's a 7.5-inch hawk above my head right
that's
now.
That's a love-hate relationship. I don't want to talk about it.
It was
like a story there.
You know, and then we just put out a big Nuke 4 with the 4-inch mount. It's a 5.5-inch Nuke, 98 center mount. And once again, for the EX folks.
You got the end load sitting up there, too. That'll hopefully make its debut this summer. We got a 5.5-inch, all cardboard, not glass. We're going to try to get an N1000 in it.
Nice.
Just because we know we can. I think there's a mystique out there that, you know, well, you can't do that with paper. Well, how do you think they did it 25 years ago? Exactly. Yes, you can.
I got a scratch build. Yeah. Right. That's cool. And you mentioned something about the nose weight system. Can you guys talk a little bit about that and what it means and how it works?
Sure. So basically in the 5.5-inch short and long cone and 7.5-inch, we cut off the shoulder, the end of the shoulder, and laser cut rings that kind of snap into the ID with the in the 7.5-inch, it's a 3-inch motor mount that goes in there. In the 5.5, it's a 54 mil that goes in there, and just different cartridges you can build, which is basically couplers. So in that central motor tube, you can throw ballast, epoxy, you know, build it with bulkheads. Just like I have a half scale Phoenix and Dave's Hawk, each of those cones weighed 9 pounds to get the stability right. And know what? You can pull it out and you're 8 pounds lighter. So the diversity is just awesome. We've had buddies and other people in the community fly. I think Mark Hayes from Sticker Shock threw an L, a full L in a Mega Mag.
Yeah, 98.
His cone is 12 pounds. And it just, you know,
the old school way of just glue and weight in the nose, you were kind of stuck with a couple of casings to balance it out appropriately. And you couldn't really go beyond that range. So it's like, well, that's not any fun either. Again, it's just trying to bring the options. You know, I flew my 5.5-inch when we first started it. It went from an I, and I think we ended up to almost an L. Mm-hmm. And just because we could add that extra 4 pounds of the nose, you know.
It makes sense. And it gives a little bit of versatility. Also, your flying field, you may have a 5,000-foot waiver, so you don't want to go so high. But some places you can open it up. So
yeah, we got a lot of water by us, so it's kind of like, how high do I want to go today here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you guys are people after my own heart. Your rockets aren't quite like modular all the way, but close enough.
We'll get there.
We're trying.
Well, especially at the high power range with those big guys. I mean, because that, I mean, you know, you got a Nuke or something and it's kind of stubby and you want to be able to throw something into it, or a V2, you know. I mean, you know, I have a 4-inch Lock V2 that's one of my favorite rockets of all time, and that sucker, I can just beat the heck out of it, and it'll keep on coming back for more. And that's the kind of stuff that I like about Lock, because the parts have always been, like, super. I mean, and I tend to push the limits a little bit on some things, and they always come back. So
yeah,
well,
yeah,
you're the guys who tell us where something broke first, so we can fix it right away. So I like that stuff. That's great. But yeah, the 7.5-inch V2
is that 5.5,
and the 5.5. That's another one of Jay's brainchilds over here with, you know, versatility. So going forward, they're basically getting the RNWS and the whole. It's a variation of the modular motor system with the boat tail. We're not quite as free to do. But we can still get a 4-inch mount in there. And of course, that can lend its way to 338s for a cluster, or obviously a 75, 54, a 38 if you got a really small field or whatever you want to do there. You know, and so that we're horrible with our press releases and everything.
We'll help you get the word out a little bit.
Yes.
There's a lot of V2 fans that are just like, ooh, I never thought about possibly clustering a V2. That could be cool.
Yeah. Clusters, add some nose weight, throw whatever motor you want in there. If you know what you're doing on building, I mean, there's no limit. Go ahead and throw an M in it. Go for it.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. It sounds like the Lock is in good hands.
Yes.
We're trying, guys. We're trying.
And you're having fun doing it. That's the important part there.
Every day is different.
Yeah, well, if you like what you do, you never work a day in your life, right?
That's
Amen,
true.
Brother.
That's true. Them's wise words there. Well, thanks for stopping by and giving us a sneak here at what's happening at Lock Precision. And thanks for coming on and supporting the show as well.
Oh, you guys do a great job. You bet. Yeah, no, it's our pleasure.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Very cool. I'm feeling the love, baby.
All right. Right. Yes. And the ammonium perchlorate.
Those mini missiles later, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want those.
See it NSL. Need. That's it. That's it. NSL
That's right.
Care
I'll
pack.
See you in NSL.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun interview with gentlemen from Lac Precision. It was a lot of fun talking to them.
I think it's great, you know, because they are really committed. It's obvious, and their passion is there, and they know the business, they know the company. What I really think that struck me was that they're really big on making sure all the parts are there for you. So I can't wait to get that to get going on another lock kit and have my guys build a nice big kit. That'll be awesome.
You got to spoil them early. They'll never be able to fly an Estes kit when you get done.
Well, I mean, think about that. That motor mount system is just, it just makes sense. And it's, and from what I've, my research that I've done on it, it seems to be basically straightforward and simple, which is another thing that Lac has always been good about. And I'm looking forward to having those slotted centering rings so that I can actually put the fins in and not have to worry about that fin lock thing that they used to do. They're moving away from that. So it's going to be good.
You know that you're talking, I was thinking about what I just said there. You know, I'll take that back, because what I've noticed, a lot of people get, especially when they get into high power rockets early on, after a while, they start to rediscover the joys of an Estes kit.
Absolutely.
Because it's not, because the more I thought about it, it's like, there's been more than once that I've run into people that would just get the kit out and fly an Estes rocket because because it's like, if you really want to just fly.
Yeah.
And you want to fly a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can fly all day long with an Estes kit, where the high power rockets do take some prep work that,
you know, it's funny because, like, when I first started getting into high power rocketry, I like would bring my whole trunk load of like tons of rockets and hope to get them all up and then maybe end up launching three or four, and that would be a good day. So, you know, because I was used to, you know, bringing 20 rockets and having them go up and come down and everything. So, but you're right though. It's if you just want to fly and have some fun, the Estes rockets are very easily revisited, and I enjoy doing it for the kids to watch the kids that have never launched a rocket before launch their first Estes rocket, and I try to remember that magic as they go. Whoa,
you know, yes,
as they see it go up. So yes, it's awesome.
Yes, it is. So let's see here. Now, you were telling me something about Trailer Park Boys with Lac before we started with Lac, with the Lac interview.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I cruise Netflix every once in a while, and I saw on Facebook there were some guys mentioning that there was going to be a rocket episode of Trailer Park Boys, which is a show that's running on Netflix, you know, the in-house production thing. So I'm like, I did a little research, found out which one it was, and I actually watched it, and it was hysterical because the premise of the show is basically what it sounds like. It's a group of people living in a trailer park home, and then this one guy had I don't want to do too many spoilers on it, but one of the characters as a birthday present got a rocket. And it was funny because it was a Lac rocket. In the hobby store, in the show, there was like a Lac Precision tape running along the counter that just had the name of Lac Precision going all the way down the counter. In the back of the counter, there was some Lac parts, and I think I saw an altimeter bay, but you know, like in that Lac bag that everybody knows. So it was so funny. And I think it was a Lac Patriot. I'm not quite sure exactly what the rocket was, so if anybody out there knows, let me know, let us know. But it was all about Lac, and I thought it was hysterical because I'm like, that's Lac Precision. Oh my God. This is Netflix. It's like they're all over the place. So it was awesome to see. It was a lot of fun. It was a silly episode. Fair warning, though, there is a lot of language in that that may not be suitable for younger people, let's say. So just be aware that the language is pretty harsh as far as F-bombs and whatnot.
I thought you were talking about a lot of languages and, you know, a lot of language. And I was going to say, which one? Chinese, English, Spanish?
No, bad language. So if you have any aversion to that or you don't want to hear that stuff, then this may not be the episode for you. But if you don't mind about that, it is actually kind of funny if you can put your mind out of that part of it.
Got it. Very cool.
There, I did my qualifier.
Qualifier done. Noted. Posted. And you know, and the other thing that was really cool that just happened was, and this snuck by us, I don't know how, but it did. But we have another world record rocket, apparently.
Yeah, I know. What was that? It was a third scale Mercury Redstone, I think. And I mean, what did you find out about it?
Nothing yet. I'm trying to see who did it because it would be nice to talk to them. So I'm still on the lookout for that. So I'm sure somebody out there would know who the people are. Go ahead, send us a message. You can email us, mailbag@therocketryshow.com. We would love to talk about it. It was a cool-looking kit.
It was sweet.
It just came down my Twitter feed, and it was launched out at MDRA just a couple of weeks ago. And if it was even that long ago. So, yeah, that was awesome.
The only thing that I saw about it was just a couple of pictures on Facebook. And, you know, new world record. I'm like, what?
Yes. I sent that through our Rocketry Show. When it came across my Twitter feed for the program, so yeah.
So it looks like a nice rocket. So anybody out there has any info, let's talk.
Yes, I would love to talk more on that. And before we get out of here, there's really cool podcast I want to talk about. I don't really talk about other shows much. Not because of any reason other than most of them has nothing to do with rocketry. Or space or whatever, but this time around, the folks over at Radiolab have a great episode out right now on their podcast. And if you get this a little later, just scroll back in history a little bit. There's an episode called "Dark Side of the Earth." It's really good.
Can you tell us without spoiling it?
Well, it starts off with them getting a call from NASA, saying that an astronaut on the International Space Station wants to talk to them. And they're us? What? So what happens is that every astronaut on the International Space Station is allowed to make one call to someone back down to Earth and talk to them. So the astronauts in this case were big fans of Radiolab, so they wanted to talk to the Radiolab guy, so they set up an interview there. And so that was pretty cool to hear and some of the things. And they segue into an older interview they did a few years back. With an astronaut who was on board the Mir space station. And he talks about his heart-stopping adventures that he had aboard that space station. Where a moment where his life literally flashed before his eyes, at one point. So it's a really, really good episode. So check it out. So once again, the show is called Radiolab.
What's the name of the episode again?
The Dark Side of the Earth.
The Dark Side of the Earth. Okay.
Yes. So yeah, there you go. My little suggestion there for you. And so on that note there, I think we have to scoot on out of here. So another episode of the Rocketry Show out of the way. CG and Jim here with you. The noob is busy being a new father, enjoying his happy little bundle of noob joy. And so we'll welcome him back as soon as he's got a moment to come up for air.
And we all know that could be a while, but he's there and he'll be dropping in occasionally. We do know that.
You never know. That one diaper change may cause him to come up for air.
It may be.
All right. So anyway, on that bad note,
keep your eyes in the skies.
All right, gang. We'll see you next time. This has been The Rocketry Show at therocketryshow.com.
To discuss this or other episodes of The Rocketry Show, head to our discussion forum at forum.therocketryshow.com.
TheRocketryShow.com wants to hear from you. We would like to introduce The Rocketry Show comment line. Just call 216-245-0855 to leave a comment, message, or questions for the show. Your question or comment just might spark a conversation on an upcoming podcast. Give it a try. We'd love to hear from you. 216-245-0855. No question or comment will be left behind. Hey, leave us a message today.